Father, we want to thank you for another wonderful time in your presence. I want to thank you for this great privilege of being your children. I want to thank you for your love, the great love wherewith you loved us, that you gave an only, your only begotten Son for us when we were dead in sin and trespasses, and when we were your enemies. You sent your only Son to die for us that we could become and we should become your children. And not only for you so loved the whole world. Lord, we're grateful. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word this evening. Thank you for you are the one speaking through us. You are the one who has given us understanding. We're not preaching of the letter, for the letter kills, but we're talking of the Spirit, for the Spirit gives life. We're talking by the Spirit. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for your presence here with us. Open our understanding. Help us to hear and be doers. Don't let the enemy come and steal this word from us. Let it find fertile soil so that it can bear fruit in 100-fold, even more than 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at Hebrews 6 from verse 1. To 10. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gifts, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Praise the Lord. We're going to concentrate on the first three verses. It says, and I mean the first two, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So here we see that the foundation is repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And this is what we want to concentrate on this evening. And if you go further down, you can see that in verse 9 it says, we're persuaded better things of you. Because he has given an example. It says, those who have tasted the word of God, the powers of the world to come. That tells us there's a world to come. And this is what we have tasted this time around, in this present world. It says, if they fail and fall away, it's impossible for them to renew again unto repentance. And it says, look, what you are doing, you're crucifying to yourself the Son of God afresh, and you're putting him to shame. And he gives an example in 7 and 8. That the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh of it, it bringeth forth herbs, meats for them by whom it is dressed. So those who till the land, that rain on the earth, there's a result, and it's a good result, and that receives a blessing from God. And those who till it get a result, a good fruit, good benefits. But then it says, that which receives the rain, then beareth thorns and briars, is rejected. And is now to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But he says, we have hope of better things from you, even though we speak like this. So this evening, we have hope of better things for each and every one of us. And so we're going to look at the foundation. The Apostle Peter said, I know you know these things, but it's good that I repeat them because it's for your benefit. He's not repeating them. We're not repeating them because we don't know. But we should remind ourselves constantly, this is our foundation. Repentance from dead works and faith towards God. This is the beginning of the Christian walk. These two. So we want to see, we're living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. So where are we going to? We're going on to perfection. And so that tells us again that there is an aim. We're heading for perfection. Now, we'll start. Let's look at perfection first. When it says perfection, can we look at 2 Timothy 3:12? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 2 Timothy verse chapter 3 verse 12. Now it says, yea, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 16 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So once again, you see perfect. That he may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you see, perfection is for a purpose. It's to enable us to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is very important. So if we keep that at the back of our minds, we'll see that we need to walk towards perfection. We must walk towards perfection. And to mark the importance of this, let's look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 12, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts are for what? The perfection of the body of Christ. For the perfection of the saints, each and every one of us, the aim is perfection. For the work of the ministry, you see? That perfection has another a purpose. It's clearly stated here again, for the work of the ministry. So if we don't attain perfection, we might not be able to do the work we have been called to do. And so we see clearly that this is very important. Now, let me quickly deal with works. Philippians 2:13. God is the one who works in each and every one of us to will and to do his good pleasure. That is very important that we remember. God is the one who is working in us to will and to do. There is nothing that we do that will say, I did it. Then, secondly, we look at 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, he's the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, his own grace, which he gave to us before the world began. That purpose, that grace, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. So again, there's a purpose we have been created for, and there's a work we're supposed to do. And to attain this work, we need to be perfected. And then the third one is Ephesians 2:10, where the workmanship of God. If we look at that quickly, Ephesians 2:10. Says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So none of us is a mistake. God has a plan for each and every one of us. So like we have children, our children, we're training them for a work. But when they are babies, they can't do much. So they are cared for, they are petted, they are looked after. But when they mature, when they reach perfection, which is what the Bible is talking about, maturity, then they take over a role. A good example might be the royal family in the UK. Now the little grandchildren, they don't have any role. They're just going to nursery, kindergarten, enjoying themselves. But there's a role assigned for them when they attain perfection. They join the army, they join different things, they start carrying out their duties. So we too have a calling, and we're going to do it. But now, it's talking about the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And so, what we're talking about here, back to the where we started, Hebrews 6, it says, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So we understand what perfection is. Maturity, then it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So you can see that what we're talking about here is the foundation of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So, very quickly, I would just two definitions of doctrine. Principles of the doctrine of Christ. The Cambridge English Dictionary says, a belief or set of beliefs, especially political or religious ones, that are taught and accepted by a particular group. That's the definition from the Worldly Dictionary. Then the Bible Study Tools. It says, it comes from the Latin doctrina, from docio, which means to teach. And it denotes both the act of teaching and what is taught. So doctrine of Christ will be the teaching and what is taught of Christ. So with that, so we're living the principles of the teachings of Christ. We have to now start at the foundation. It says, these teachings of Christ is taking us onto maturity. But now he's saying, let's go back to the foundation, which is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Praise God. So now, at this stage, I think I want to deal with the teachings. When we talk of teachings, which is to equip us to do the works he has called us to do. The question then is, who is the teacher? The principles of the doctrines of Christ. Who is going to teach us? This is extremely important. Now we remember that the disciples on the way to Emmaus, Christ had died. They were all in confusion because their understanding was limited. And that's in Luke 24:13. Jesus appeared to them, and he personally taught them. He gave them understanding. He expounded the scriptures to them. And with that in place, they understand, oh, we see it. Jesus himself, he had died. He had defeated Satan. He's risen again. But he's taking time to teach his people. So they went with joy and told the others, oh, we've seen the Lord. Now, again, we see that that's after he died. Before he died, if you look at Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. So they are distinct. He always taught apart from preach. And then in the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. He now says to the disciples, go out, make disciples of all nations. And clearly tells them what to do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's one. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Then he makes a final statement. And surely I am with you always. So those he has appointed to go out and teach, they have what? His presence. Surely I am with you always. And then in Ephesians 4:20 it says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so, you have been taught by him. Let me read it properly. It says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. And this Ephesians is a letter by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Now he's telling them, you have not so learned Christ. If so, you have been taught by him. So you might say, but Christ has died. Who is teaching them? How is it that it is Christ teaching them? So we can clearly see from all the scriptures that our Lord Jesus Christ is the teacher. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he gave some gifts of teaching, he gave the gifts. Those who he gave the gifts, they are teaching because he is with them. And the words they speak, they are the words of Christ. So once it is clear to us that the person who is teaching us is Christ, we begin to see his importance. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 15. 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 15. It says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, this is very clear. We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. That is what teaches us. The Spirit that we have received. Now, it goes on to say, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, it is a spiritual task. Now, it goes on to tell us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, an unbeliever here, all what we're saying, he's going to fall asleep. He's not interested. He can't understand it. Even if the anointing, everything, he doesn't know. He's not interested. Or maybe a backslider. But for anybody who has that spirit of God in him, he understands. Spiritual things are compared by spiritual things. There's an excitement. There's something brewing. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, for he himself is judged by no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And he concludes with something very important for each believer. We have the mind of Christ. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. What a wonderful provision. We have the mind of Christ. It's not that we're going to have it. We have it. The mind of Christ. So this is the good news. We've seen that Christ is the teacher. We've seen that his Holy Spirit is there doing the work for us. And we've seen that we have his mind. So it's such a joy. And this is what the apostle is saying. Let us go back to the foundation. It's so easy to forget all these things. Then we start trying to understand. We start trying to use our brain. We keep it on a mental plane. We forget that there are spiritual things that can only be spiritually discerned. We have moved away from faith, which is the foundation. And we will deal with faith also. So now that we know who the teacher is, we know that it is the Holy Spirit of God. Then the next question is, what is the Lord trying to teach us? What is the Lord trying to teach us? I think I should go back to Timothy, because Paul is writing that letter to a student, someone who is going to take over from him. So he's training him. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, let's start from 12 again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you see, there is a need to continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So it's not, I've learned it, then I stop. No, you have to continue. And it says, assured of knowing of whom and has been assured of, now you've learnt it, you are sure of it. Then it goes on to say, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. The person who teaches you is also very important. And I believe that if we look at that Ephesians where he said, if you have so learned Christ and he has taught you, and all the scriptures that has established that Christ is the one teaching you himself. So because you know that you've learned it of Christ himself, nobody can take it away from you. You are sure. You are sure and you know who taught you. Then he goes on to say that, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, where's salvation? It says, which is unto true faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to note that. Is able to make you wise. True faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, where is faith? Faith is in Christ Jesus. Now, these holy scriptures, what do? They make thee wise unto salvation. So, it's important we keep this at the back of our minds. So this is what the Lord is teaching us. And here, Timothy is commended. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, he didn't start at 35 like some of us. He started from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we remember where we're coming from. We mustn't forget. Hebrews 6, what is it telling us? Hebrews 6 is saying, go back to the foundation. Repentance from dead works and faith towards God. So, we can look at dead works, but we will not do that. If we get what is not dead works, then we know what dead works are. So, he's giving two degrees now. The Lord is telling us that there is faith towards God. Then there is what they call dead works. Dead works will be works that are not faith, from faith towards God. That will be dead works. But it's not enough that I should just say it. Let us look for the scripture. That is Romans 3, verse 20. It says, for by the deeds of the law is no man justified in his sight. When you do what the law requires, you can never be justified in the sight of God. By the deeds of the law, no man is justified in his sight. Now, we all know we are justified by faith in Christ. By the deeds of the law, no man is justified. So, many of us, we want to do something to get God's approval. I'm coming to church regularly. I'm paying my tithes. I am singing in the choir. I am doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing something. And so because I'm doing this, God must bless me. He says, no, by the deeds of the law, no man is justified. And this Hebrews is such a wonderful passage. Because in Hebrews, he's dealing with the Old Testament. It says, there's been a change. A New Testament has replaced the old one. Now, you can't go on with all those sacrifices. Now, not by the blood of goats and bulls, but by his own blood, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our high priest, he has entered once into the holies of holies. And what is the result? He has obtained eternal redemption for us. We are redeemed for eternity. Every true believer of God is delivered from the domain of darkness, is in the kingdom of light right now. We have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We're in the presence of God, in the company of innumerable angels, in the presence of just men made perfect, in the presence of the blood of sprinkling, in the presence of God himself, the judge of all, in the presence of Jesus Christ, the mediator of this new covenant, and in the presence of the blood of sprinkling. We must remember this is where we are. It says, repentance from dead works, faith in God. This is what God is telling us. We must not let it slip. This is where we are. This is who we are. So once we realize that we're justified by faith, we go on. Again, in Romans 3:20 says, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 3:28, a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So you find that even the Jews, don't forget, Jesus Christ was a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews. Now, Peter, Paul, they were all Jews. So now, they have a problem. How do they tell these people who are steeped in tradition? Abraham, Isaac, our forefathers, this is how they've done it. No more temple, no more shedding of the blood. Are you saying there will be no more high priest? He says, no, we now have a new high priest. And this high priest has obtained eternal redemption for us. You don't need those yearly sacrifices. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take sin away. Only the blood of Jesus can purge our conscience. He says, the blood of Jesus purges our conscience from dead works. So that we can what? Serve the living God. You cannot serve God with dead works. It's only through the blood of Jesus purging your conscience that you can serve him. So Some will say, look, I'm going to stay in the old way. I will never leave that old way. This is the way my father did it. This is the church I've gone to. We've been Anglicans from this. We've been Catholics from this. Jesus is saying, I'm the teacher. I'm the one who saved you. You were not saved by the Anglican church. I am the high priest. They say, no, it's the way we've been doing it. So, what do we do? We go to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see again that it's not by works. Having been justified by faith. Faith in what? What God has done. Then we now have peace with God. Nothing else will give you peace with God. No thing you can do. Just receive that gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately you have peace with God through him. So, say, that's too much for me to believe. How can I, just by doing nothing, have this? Then our Lord Jesus Christ, they confronted him. They had eaten, they were satisfied. So they came to him and they said, Lord, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Notice that we have changed to works. They realized that we must do the works of God. So they now asked Jesus, said, what shall we do that we can do the works of God? So Jesus now is telling them, yes, you want to do the works of God. And they're expecting a long list of do's and don'ts, which is what the law sets up. Don't do this. Wash your hands before you eat. Go here. Come here. Go to this place. Now Jesus tells them, very simple. John chapter 6, verse 29. And this is something that really thrills. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him that he has sent. That is the work of God. Believe on Jesus. Faith towards God, repentance from dead works. Believe on whom he has sent. Now, why did God make it like this? So that no flesh will boast. Of God were in Christ Jesus, who of God, 1 Corinthians 1:30, whom of God has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is everything to us. And so you see, faith in Christ Jesus is very important. Repentance from dead works. This is the beginning of the Christian life. Without that, you have not started. I don't have wisdom. No, you have the mind of Christ. And he says, yes, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Even though he was equal to God, he did not see it as something to be attained, but was obedient even unto the death on the cross. Obedience comes in. That is why you cannot do this work without attaining maturity in Christ. It's not something that is possible. So, we now see that what is the work God has called us to do. Because you say, oh, I want to do great and mighty things for God. No, God is the one that works in us to will and to do it. He has called each and every one of us before the foundation of the world. He has given us a role. Now, for you to fulfill that role God has given you, you have to be obedient. And you have to submit. And then he will work it through you. But that you want to do it in your own strength, you can never get it. So at this point, we now begin to see why faith in Christ is of utmost importance. Why it is the foundation. Let us look at a few things that we can only get through faith. Let us look at a few things. It is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith in Christ Jesus, you can never please God. No matter what you do, you can't please him. Okay? How did we get into the Christian walk? And how did we get born again? Romans 14:23 says, anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. You see why faith is the life wire? Anything you do that you didn't do it as a result of faith in Christ, receiving it from Christ, expressing it, is sin. God is not as... You remember that? He says, on that day they will say, Lord, didn't I raise the dead? Didn't I say, go away from me, I don't know you. Anything that is done outside faith is sin. Ephesians 2:8, we are saved by faith. That is the way we came into the kingdom. Ephesians 2:8, we were saved by faith. Then, how do we live as believers? We live by faith. I would like to emphasize this a bit. Repentance from dead work, faith towards God. Now, your life, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. We live by faith in Christ. Every believer who is not living by faith is dying or is dead. So if you look at it, Habakkuk 2, 4, Romans 1, 17, they all stress that thing. We live by faith. Now, why do we live by faith? Jesus Christ himself said it. I am the vine, you are the branches. Brothers and sisters, this is something that is so crucial. If he's the vine and we are the branches, there's a union. And this is the good news. We are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. That's the new life. We were created in Jesus Christ. We're no longer separate from him. God loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten son. If you believe in him, you become a child of God. Once you believe in him, you get reconciled to God. Now, you cannot do this without believing. Now, in 2 Corinthians, I think this and one more and will be true. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is such a great part of the Bible. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Every believer walks by faith. And you see, we can't understand this walking by faith. Because everything in the world is telling us, use your senses, your eyes, your head, your brain. What does this look like? This is impossible. How? Pastor preached this morning. God told them, this is the promised land I'm giving you. They sent out spies to go and see the land. They saw it was good. They brought back the fruits. But they said, there are giants in the land. We can't take it. They saw, they reasoned, they calculated. We saw Goliath threaten the children of God for how many days? Each day, the king, the representative of God on earth, the whole army of Israel. But it took somebody with a different mindset, somebody who was living by faith. How dare you defy the children of God, the armies of the living God? Never. He said, no way. He said, I come against you in the name of God. That is what we have today. We are united with Christ. We are now living in Christ. We are created in Christ. Of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Are you in Christ Jesus? So, in verse 7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Then, further down, in verse 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And this is very important. If I ask myself every morning, what am I living for? Am I living for worldly acclaim? Is all my calculations, is it comfort, how to get myself and my family in a good place? No, Christ has done it all for us. And he's given us a work to do here. You have to change if you are not living for Christ. You were dead. He says now you live for him. Okay. And in 16 says, wherefore now know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And the good news, therefore, if any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Oh, I'm too lazy. Oh, I'm not strong enough. Oh, I was born into a poor family. Oh, my parents are the richest in the world. No, all things have passed away. You are a new creature. You are now in Christ. You are a member of the household of God. Then, now, in 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why? For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So this is the work God has called each believer to do. One, live for God. Two, go and tell everybody the good news. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Don't keep quiet. God is not imputing your trespasses to you anymore. You've been forgiven. And the man from Sasra, praise God, he went on our position as kings and priests unto God. We reign in this life as kings and priests unto God. Now, this is our duty as kings and priests. This is the work that God has called us to do. And why is he saying repentance from dead works and faith towards Christ as a foundation? Without this foundation of faith, you can't do this work. If it is now you who is doing the work, there will be no results. But the minute you every day remind yourself, I am joined to Christ, it is no longer I who is living. It is Christ who is living in me. The life I now live, I live by faith. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. You can never fail. He has obtained eternal redemption for you. And you now go about and tell them, what is my duty? I am an ambassador for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. We are taking the place of Christ. Christ is in us. Be ye reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us. You are free. And so we conclude by looking at 1 Corinthians 13:5. Run out of time. Yes. Oh, sorry. I think it must be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, please. We conclude here. One of these days, we will have enough time to do like those who were building the wall, which Nehemiah was doing. They had 6 hours to speak, share the word. 6 full hours. Praise God. So, now let's look at this. 2 Corinthians, it says, examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine, you are the one that will examine yourself. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. This is the foundation we're talking of. How have I been living? Is it Christ living in me, or am I living my own life? Am I living for Christ? He says, examine yourself. We all know what it is to examine ourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you? Our pastor prayed this morning. He said we can't understand it, that Christ, the creator of, the one by whom all things were made, the one who is equal to God, is living in us. Our sister Faith on the Wednesday Bible Knowledge class said, each and every one of us has Christ in him. Now, it says, Jude says, I'm going to write you a very important letter. I was going to write about salvation. He says, but no, I can't do that anymore. I'm writing to you, contend for the faith. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Then again, Peter, we have an adversary, he's going about like a roaring lion, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The faith, once you are no longer living in Jesus Christ, no hope again. You've come out of the union. So, we must never forget the mighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only Son of God. We have been made one with him. Sorry, we'll close now. We'll close with Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews 2:11. We should all read that Hebrews when we're free. Such a wonderful message. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's our high priest. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We are all of one. And this is the good news. So he writes to them, don't forget this foundation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God.